Hi, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Hello.
Hello, morning.
Morning. Oh, my goodness.
So,
yes.
How was your weekend?
How you doing? My weekend was fine. Thank you for asking. Also, when is your niece, isn't your niece due to be born very soon?
Yeah, probably the next 3 weeks or so.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. So it's interesting because the last show we talked about the baby shower.
Right.
So it's interesting. So I ask when, of course, you know, this is a huge life event, the baby's coming, but also, too, it means that in a shorter span of time, you're going to be seeing your family probably a lot sooner than if there wasn't a baby coming right after a baby shower.
Right, right.
That's one of the reasons why I asked. So when are you going to, well, I guess when they know it's getting close, everybody will come to Atlanta, I suppose?
Well,
I don't know.
The due date was originally the 24th of March, and then it got moved up because my sister-in-law has high blood pressure.
Oh, yeah.
So they were looking at like March 11th. And then because the baby looks to be a little smaller in weight than they would like, they may move it up even sooner. So it may even be next week.
Wow.
March 11th is, yeah, so I don't know yet. I think they still have, she has another doctor's appointment this week. So I think she's at like 5 pounds right now.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they're thinking that she's a little underweight for.
Yeah, but she's okay. She's not 2 pounds. Like, she's fine. She's fine,
right,
but
right,
I was
right,
kind of
right,
feeling
right.
Like it's going to be soon. It's interesting. I'm glad I asked you. I was kind of feeling like it's going to be sooner than I think. So that you kind of, okay, that makes sense what I'm asking and all of that. And it's going to be fine and without disclosing information, I know that there's backstory that's very sensitive and triggering. I can only imagine for your sister-in-law. And honey, I get it. And yes, so they're doing all the right things, and she. I mean, I don't know her, but just the energy that I'm getting is that, I mean, you could say this to her if you want to. Because, you know that crazy chick from New York who co-hosts the podcast with me? She just, you don't need to talk to her, but she just wants to say, you go champ. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her. She is handling this so well. And I know what it's like to go through something and then go back out there, you know, going through something very intense regarding childbirth, and then going back at it again. And she is a champ. So I don't know if you're able to pass that on, but just she's a champ. So good for her, because I get it. That's wonderful. And on the last show, I was asking how things were left with you and your mom, and it really wasn't, and if you remember the conversation, it really wasn't about what was actually going on and the dynamic, but really the takeaway of your self-awareness and the wisdom of understanding with everything that was coming up, and you really being in that compassionate self, that compassionate space for yourself, certainly for your mom, but on a more profound level for yourself. It's expected, you know, the default setting, well, of course, you know, mom always wins. Like, okay, boss, we've been, you know, the default setting since we were in the womb. Like, okay, you're right. Sorry. I wasn't developing enough. Like, oh my, okay, here's the fifth finger. Okay, is it good? So we get that. That's to be expected. That's on the surface. That's whatever. But have you guys been in communication since they went back after the baby shower?
Not really.
That's good.
No.
That's good.
No.
That's good. That's good. It's both of you guys. That's really good, actually. Both of you guys are in your neutral corners. Neutral corner is a beautiful place sometimes, like the boxing ring. Neutral corner. Neutral corner is a. Sometimes it's a good thing. You have to kind of process, assess, let things land, let them line up. And what I would suggest, or what I'm seeing energetically, is that just like the boxing match, you know, when they get out of the neutral quarters, they're not talking about, you know, I really didn't appreciate that uppercut. my feelings were so hurt with that left hook. They're not talking about that. And your footwork was marvelous. No one's talking about that. Right? So,
right.
It's so funny that I'm using a boxing metaphor. I know your mom likes sports, but that neutral corner paradigm, I think, it's a reset. The awareness is for you to spearhead and move forward with whatever time is left, you know, with your living parents. I have one living parent, my mom, and whatever is left, it's so purposely well invested in terms of what am I learning in this sacred space, and just lead with love when it comes to interacting. And absolutely, the buttons will be pressed because they've been pressed our whole lives, but the charge is neutralized. Just the effect. It's like, no, it's okay. I love you. Boom. And even if you're not in the situation that you can say that, or it's going to sound weird or whatever, sometimes I'll go up to my mom and I will just hug her, and I do this weird thing. I like to smell her neck. I don't know why. And I will smell her neck. And, I go, ah. And then you can't be mad at somebody. You can't be mad. Like, you're getting your neck smelled. Hello. There's something so primal and ageless and timeless about that, you know. And
yeah,
I think it's good. The time's going to come soon enough that they're gearing up to go back to Atlanta. And then it's that miraculous energy and that process of the birth and rebirth and a reset. Look at everything it springs around the corner. Like, the timing's perfect. Renewal, healing. And I had a conversation with a dear, dear friend of mine who actually Anna knows. And he's just been going through, and I understand completely. He lost his beloved wife a little over a year ago, who was one of my dearest, dearest friends. And I had this long conversation with him, and I said, you know what we're talking about here? We're not talking about grief. This isn't grief. Like, what was coming out wasn't grief. It was, you know, in that sort of, I use the analogy of the I'm going to say it wrong, you're going to know what I'm talking about exactly. It's Ouroboro. It's the snake that eats its own tail.
Ouroboros, something like that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I'm not saying it right, but that, or it could be the dog chasing its tail, the snake eating its own tail, whatever. But it's just like you're going nowhere fast. You're moving, but you're going nowhere fast. And I said, this has nothing to do with any of that. And I can only speak on it because I'm using my misadventures in dating as a tool. So this is fresh off the presses. So I only started this madness in December, middle December, and it's only, like, it's still February. And, girl, you know, she's been busy. And that is daring to connect with the part of yourself that you unconsciously never linked up with to begin with. I missed the memo. Like, yes, the most important relationship is the one with yourself. I missed that memo that day. I don't know what was happening. I don't know. I think maybe my brain cells weren't, you know, replicating quick enough, and my mother had a problem with that. And I'm like, okay. And then I missed the seminar on the most important relationship from the jump is the one with yourself. Or the most important connection that needs to form is the one with yourself. So we forgot that. We didn't get the memo. And I said, the lashing out and the profound sadness, all of that has its place, but the rabbit hole part of it, and I'm just figuring this out now, is being lined up with letting the inner organism of what makes you up as a sacred individual. It will do everything in whatever way is most effective to you to get your attention. And it takes a lot of courage to link up to that, especially if you don't know how to do it and you're grown up. We've been grown for a minute.
Mm.
And I've said this story a couple of times. When I went on the second and final date with the first, I ain't gonna call him a gentleman, with the first guy, whatever, with the first guy, ironically speaking, how all of this started was I was leaving my friend's house, the one who's a widow that I just talked about, after helping him organize his wife's things and sorting out what's good, what could donate, what I'm taking for myself, whatever. And I met bachelor number one in the car service going home from my friend's house. So I blame him. Like, this is all your fault, because if I wasn't at your house, none of this would have happened. I would have never considered a dating app. I said I was done. I knew. I had no good reason when this attractive young man, well, young for me, young man asked me for my number. And we had a great conversation between my friend's place and my apartment. And something said, you better do this, because are you dead? No. Then do it! And the growth from walking the pathway to my door, knowing I'm being stared at, I'm like, don't drop anything, don't turn around, stand straight, put the key in. Okay, you're out of sight. And then I'm in the elevator, and I'm like, what did I do? Like, I killed somebody. What have I done? Like, what's the drama? And then, like, 2 weeks later for that first date, I was running around like a panicked chicken with no head, changing my outfit 3 times because my son said, Mom, you look like you're doing laundry. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
Just so, so remedial. And it was a wonderful experience. And not a hand was laid on me. amazing experience. All the communication between that time, a couple weeks passed, and then the second date. The alignment that I started to feel like, oh, I'm onto something through this filter of this type of energy and this type of interaction. And if you think about it, the whole dating space is really about co-creation. And I think that's why I keep mentioning that podcast, Dying for Sex, which is the opposite. You know, I'm like, do I know how to just like walk and talk and have a conversation, you know, with a gentleman caller? This one is like swipe left and, you know, her heels are in the air. But I'm good. Somebody needs to do it. So go ahead. You be the team captain, girl. I'll get. Would you like some water? Would you like a towel? Okay. I'll be like on the side. So good for you. But she's dying. Stage 4 cancer. This is how she feels alive. The antithesis of death for her is sexual expression. That's creation. That's life. So it makes sense that the portal that's helping me, by my surprise, to link up to the undiscovered parts of myself, because I never linked up to begin with in childhood, never linked up, never had never made that connection. I'm making it pretty late in life, but I'm making it. So to look at that dating space as the portal and the stage to discover what's to be discovered about myself and to be brave enough to heal the damaged parts of myself. And I didn't realize how much healing needs to happen. So on date number two, the final date, but lots of communication in between, texting and phone calls. I would grow and learn from every ridiculous phone call because this person is, you know, who he is, okay? But I learned from the dance, so to speak, and I'm done with that dance. Second date, one of the best dates of my life. And I'm so grateful, and I want to keep it like that. Keep it in the little, you know, in that museum case, you know, like the Declaration of Independence, you know, it's sealed, don't touch it, there's a security guard around it, don't mess with it, you just look at it and appreciate it, because it was my Declaration of Independence. And there was a beautiful kiss at the end of the evening. I hadn't been kissed in 3.5 years, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I caught up quick. And it was shocking. And again, I held it together, walking down that same pathway. Be cool. Don't turn around. Keep spine straight. Keep just don't. Go in the elevator. Oh my God. and I was in shock. And then coming home to my two kids, like a little soldier. Hey, hey, you guys good? Yeah, okay. Run to my room. And then for 3 days, I mean, not continuously, but over a 3-day period, I found myself weeping like a baby, like somebody died. And that's when it hit me. Wow. That's when it hit me. And then for between then and the rest of the month, there was one more quick interaction, like a drive-by, not really a date, just we got together for like a half hour, just we were in the same neighborhood. So that doesn't really count. But 3 interactions, lots of calling, lots of messaging, and I shut it down the end of January because I knew there was nothing more for me to learn and that this really wasn't, I'm not looking for exclusive, but I'm looking for substantive, and I'm not looking to take care of somebody. And I saw that sort of red flag, like, oh, no, I'm a single mom. I'm good. I can barely take care of these guys. I'm good. it got me onto something. And that's what propelled me to check out the whole app situation, which is, I'm learning so much about culture too, because people, everybody's on it. So now I kind of get it. And it's absolutely fascinating. And I'm not going to get dive deep with the second person who was through an app. And again, I had two amazing dates. And he knew, because my name is not Freaky Mafreak, he knew it's not going to happen with me. So he ended it. I'm like, bless you, sir. Bless you. Again, the gratitude that I have. So to tie in acknowledging, to link up within the part of yourself that you never, that connection was never made, to walk through the unhealed parts of yourself, to embrace that, and to explore, heal, and learn, and to surrender control. I thought, I'm done, and I'm never going to, maybe the next life. And I thought, even in my marriage, I thought, I convinced myself that I had to sacrifice something, that something had to be sacrificed so that I could pursue and do all the other things. I thought, well, I'm doing the podcast, and these gifts are really coming in hot. They're coming in strong, and I'm so intuitive and psychic now, and now I can talk to dead people, and now Lois is on the show. Okay, all of this, that, so something had to give. That was sort of my rationale from the marriage and the aftermath, where I'm just not going to have that in my life.
Mm.
So that was a good kind of buffer to not acknowledge that I never linked up in the beginning. So let me ask you this. Did you ever feel that there was going to be some sort of sacrifice in your life, so things would just kind of be a certain way and we would just learn to live with that? Did you ever feel that?
I know I have. I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
I think that was something kind of early on, because I didn't feel those things the way like all my other friends were, like, oh, they just had their own little plans, and it followed a trajectory that you saw a lot on TV, you know, these storylines, and I'm like, but,
right.
You know, how does that, like, how
yeah.
does that happen?
it was almost like out feeling like it was outside of yourself, right?
Well, I guess that's not gonna happen, because I don't feel those things. Like, I don't have a little book of how my wedding is going to be and how many kids I'm going to have. And like,
right. Yeah, I didn't have
like,
that book either, girl. I didn't have that book either.
I'm in third
either.
Grade, you know?
Right. I didn't have that book.
I'm in third grade.
You know, it's so crazy, because my mom, I mean, she was technically a single mom her whole life, although, you know, to hear it from her, she wasn't, but trust me, she was. And I knew from third grade, it's funny you say that, I knew from third grade, I never had the marriage fantasy. I said, I want kids, but I don't want a husband. Now, that was some wise thinking back then. isn't that interesting? I didn't have that. I didn't think that either.
I never thought about even having kids. So that was not,
right.
You know, that was just not something that crossed my mind, because
right.
I'm the baby of my family. So, and there's such a huge, well, not a huge gap, but there's like a 4-year gap between me and the next either brother or sibling or a relative. So,
right.
You know, and that the next youngest to me didn't lived in the next state, like lived in Georgia. And so I didn't grow up with anyone that I had to babysit. Like, I just didn't have to do that. I'm doing that now, apparently, but I didn't
right.
have to do that.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? That it's that. Here we go. Isn't that, look? You just hit it. That's so it ties into your niece.
Right.
She's the baby now. You're like, girl. Here's the crown. Here's the scepter. Here's the sash. Good luck.
Well, you know, exactly.
You go like, you tag your aunt. You're gonna run
me
to the hills.
My brother was texting me last night. Just sort of like, hey, you know, do you think, you know, once, because at some point, you know, after maternity leave is done, you know, my sister-in-law is going to go back to work. And my brother, who works a lot from home, though, but he, you know, I don't know, I can't see him pulling off Mr. Mom, you know.
No, I'll tell you right now. I don't know him, whatever, so, but, I co-host this podcast and I know a few things. He shouldn't even try. Like, he could be backup. He shouldn't even, I'm going to tell you this right now, he shouldn't even try. Let him get you know, keep the pith helmet on. He can keep hold things down. But you're on the right track with this. All right, because he shouldn't even try.
So,
all right, go ahead.
So, and they hadn't really thought about, you know, child care.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
And they're not comfortable after maternity leave is done finding some random place to let the kid hang out, you know, for
so
a few hours.
That.
So they're trying to figure out how to work, make it work. Mm-hmm. And so he was asking me, do you think you'd want to be able to help out?
Be on the roster?
With you know, 1 or 2 days a week. And I'm like, yeah.
That's beautiful.
And after I'm typing it, I'm like, you know, I have no idea how good I'm going to be at this.
You're going to be great.
I think I'll be all right.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And there's enough people that you can call when you don't have a question because you have so much family there. You're going to be great. You're going to be great.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be so healing and so wonderful because your little niece, she is going to be the occupational therapy to get you to link to that place in yourself. I have to be, you know, a hussy and a floozy, but you, young lady, that's going to really help you. And that energy of especially of a tiny little baby and how important that is and how sacred it is to take, you know, they get a little rough and tumble, you know, after about a year. But the first year, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful journey for the whole family. And when you have your one-on-one time with her, being her primary caregiver during that time, or, you know, even if your brother's working and you're there in the house, you know, holding it down or however it works out, that's going to be so – you'll see. That's – I love how this conversation is so making sense. She's going to be the gateway. She's going to be the gateway for that journey for you. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Yeah. No, I was just saying that I think it was interesting that's what they're concerned about. That they want to make sure that she is being looked after and it's with family and they really haven't. Yeah, they hadn't really thought about, you know, what kind of school is she going to go to? They hadn't really thought about all that stuff, which apparently, you know, you need to do.
You know, I'm telling you.
It's so crazy.
It's so, you know what?
It's crazy.
You do and you don't. You do and you don't. There are so many resources out there, and unless they're going to put her on the track of privilege, no. I mean, they can start thinking about that when she's two if they want to put her in preschool for when she's three.
Right.
Yeah, but no. It's when you want them to go, and I don't know them, and I'm not judging, but I just know from New York, which is so obnoxious with all of that nonsense, and I reject it. Like, I love that the high school I found for my youngest, who's going to start in September, God willing, is a school that none of the privileged people in Manhattan, where we live, is even aware of. Because it's a progressive, fabulous public school in the Bronx named after a black civil rights and voting activist that only black people apparently know about. And I'm going to join the PTA, and I'm going to be loud and proud. And if this school and that model was here where we live in Manhattan, the rich parents would have turned it into a charter school, and they would have made it inaccessible. So I love that I'm rejecting that path of privilege. No, keep it for those people. So they can think about it, but they don't really need to dive deep. for 2 years.
Right.
I'm just saying. Unless right. they want to go to like Miss Charlotte School of whatever. But
well, I think their main thing is making sure that she is looked after and has good child care, which, you know, growing up.
That's everything. You had your grandmother.
We had my mom who stayed at home.
Right.
So mom was stay-at-home mom. We had a ton of relatives. Summertime, I feel like I spent the whole summer at my grandmother's or with aunts and uncles because they all lived in one big house. I always had family. I mean, that's what my brother and I are used to. We always had family
around.
And
that's the way to go. If you can do that, that's the way to go.
So now we're on the flip side of that. And what does it look like now that pretty much everyone's still working, you know?
Right.
And not there isn't that one person who stays at home.
Right.
So I'm probably the closest thing to it because
I love it.
On the weekends, I'm usually working.
Such a full circle moment. No, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
This is going to be so life changing in terms, you know, not so much on the surface, but on the inside, and then the outside reflects it. And you know, it's so crazy. I have shifted internally, or I'm shifting internally, to the point that my energy has projected on the outside, because being in that space of exploring uncharted territory and connecting to that part that just got linked up. So I think that's going to happen with you too. Connecting to that energetic life force of your niece, it's going to shift, and then it's going to reflect on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
People have said,
I've been excited from the beginning.
Yes, you have. And that energy is right there. Just that excitement, that anticipation
mm-hmm.
is healing for everybody.
Right.
And the thing with the baby shower, unresolved issues or unhealed parts need to come to the surface. So when I had that first kiss, and I cried for 3 days, not because I'm in love. It was nothing to do with that at all. If anything, oh my goodness. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I am so damaged. And I didn't mean it in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. It's like you think your house is clean, and then you see that corner and you're like, ooh. You look behind the stove and you scream like, ah, you see like
right.
what's been collecting, you know, it looks great on the, you know, it seems great on the surface. And you look in that dark corner and you're horrified. That's what it's like. And then you just roll with it. You just roll with it. So with this, you know, this last interaction with the baby shower and your mom and you seeing all of those things, and I think it's going to line up pretty organically, because your mother, when she has that role of grandmother, then things are going to just... And
yeah.
you have that wisdom and that understanding about what was coming up to the surface that was triggered by your mom, but not about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
About, right? So the anger and the irritation and all those. It's like I was telling my friend, you know, I said, you're not angry at your wife. It's time to grow up. So... time to explore the unhealed parts of yourself. And I said, I think, he listens to the show. I said, I think I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. If it comes up, it's going to come up. I think I'm going to talk about this situation. I think I'm going to talk about this. But that's what it is. And look, whatever time we have left, being that we're grown, fully formed adults, it would be nice to have the fortitude to link up for the first time in our life, to link up to that part of ourselves that we bypassed and then by default we neglected. We just bypassed it. We missed it. We missed it. You know, I it's like that, what they call that, the brass ring when you're on the I don't even know what that is, but you're on the carousel, the brass ring, and like you got to get the brass ring. Well, we missed the brass ring. Oops, 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 oops. And then I fell off the horse. Okay, sorry. So, and then so now I'm back. Not really, but then I'm not on the horse, but you know the little chairs that they have in the carousel where you just sit, nothing goes up and down? That would be me right now. Okay, I'm not going on a horse.
I'm wondering if we have Lois who wants to chime in on any of this.
I think so. You know, that's good. Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I'm wondering, it's interesting because when we did the show like years ago, and then there would be like segments that would be just devoted to channeling, and I did sort of have like a hybrid channel situation with her, like I would before it shifted to the Lois effect, where you could tell like when I talk and then I'm getting hits, but I'm still talking as myself, as Liz, but you could, you can tell because you've been doing this with me for so long. So I'm kind of feeling a little bit of, I definitely am feeling her energy right now, a little bit of a hybrid situation. So maybe if it's okay with you, could you start the conversation? Because I just want to see if I line up and see how the information comes through, because I'm not sure how it's going to come through. So I want you to start the conversation. Let's see what happens, okay?
Okay. Well, it really is just a feeling to be prompted to open this for any wisdom that wants to come through from Lois. I think we've been talking about being in touch with who we are, like reconnecting with parts of ourselves that we didn't even know about, or as Liz put it, as you know, bypassed. And something that circled through my mind was if we all come from Source. So when we are in these forms now, we break apart from that energetically. And this whole being in this form is to do that, to explore who we are, because it's hard to do that when you're all one. Like there is no need to explore who we are; we just are, right? So now we're in this form, and in this form represents the array of things to feel and be and do and have. So I can understand what we would call the struggle is this learning and this understanding. So that was what was circling through. So even if we say we missed that when we were born, that was exactly what we were supposed to not remember, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And what she – okay, so I'm really feeling – yeah, I might go in and out because I'm very lightheaded. But what she wants to, it's interesting because it's coming through as third person, so I'm just going to roll with that for now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants to, and maybe you can look this up because my eyes are closed and I'm very lightheaded, but she's saying it's similar to the iris, and I guess the iris is part of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
can you do me a favor and identify the role of the iris? Because she's that just is coming through. It's symbolized or parallel to the role of the iris and its function. But being that I'm not a science chick, can you just look that up real quick?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
Thank you.
Let's see here.
But she's like, it's like the eye of the needle. It's a gateway. It's a portal. And she did talk about portals before. I don't remember because I kind of disassociate. But remember she talked about portals a while ago, right? So she's making a parallel. But this is a different kind of portal. And she's comparing it to the iris of the eye. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just looking. It says, the iris is responsible for controlling the diameter and size of the pupil, and thus the amount of light reaching the retina.
There you go.
Eye color is defined by that of the iris. That's your filter, and it's also the opening.
Perfect. Okay, got it. So filter and the opening and how you color your experience. Thank you, Lois. I don't know why you had to take me there, girl. Okay.
What else could you use to explain that, though? I mean, a doorway.
All right, you don't have to be sticking up for her. I'm kidding.
Hey.
I'm kidding.
I got you, Lois.
Girl. And it's interesting. Okay, you're funny. You're funny. Damn. Why you gotta be like that? I thought you were my girl. Okay, I'll see what it's like. I'll see what it is.
You know I am.
Also, she loves this whole thing. Okay, so the iris is how you filter and color. And also the view, like it's the dimension and the size and the perspective, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Sure.
You're like, sure, that works. So it's like, girl, so it's that, wow. So it's almost like our energetic iris didn't get fully formed. It didn't get, it was undeveloped because it didn't get enough light to grow or expand or what have you. Also, it's really funny too because what's also coming through is when Lois first showed up and then the acronym came up where I just knew we have to change the name of the show from the sum of you to the Lois effect, and then it came up immediately, love originates in self. And it's interesting because there's something there with iris. I realize I'm substantial, or I realize I'm significant, or I realize I'm something with an S. Because that it's that realization that we got to link up to the core of who we are, because it never developed, and in that developing, it kind of atrophied, and we're giving it life again through new experience, right? So I'm giving it life again because I'm allowing myself to be in the dating space and to use that as a tool for self-discovery, growth, and healing, and a little bit of fun. And you, with I think you are in development, research and development, to get yourself out there in the dating space. But the gateway for you to heal, to link up to the iris of your soul. Oh, girl, look at this, Lois. Okay, Lois, that's cute. Okay. The iris of your soul. Okay. To the iris of your soul. Damn. And to pass on the role of the baby of the family to your niece. Because the opposite of baby, female baby, is woman. This is about personhood. People never get there. It might look like that, and how they pay their bills and how they lead their professional lives, that's all surface. But that personhood from within and having the iris of the soul lead the way, that takes surrendering a little bit of control and a lot of faith. So it's very interesting. So I realize I'm significant, because significance means that something worth mattering. So love originates in self. I realize I'm significant. That's what she wants to. I'm less lightheaded. Okay. That's what she wants to contribute to the conversation. She's very amused by this hot mess of podcast, but whatever. She's very amused. I'm like, yeah, you stay amused, girl, because I'm the one on the mic. Okay, whatever. Hot mess. Okay. That's, yeah. So if we had, please jump in.
Can I just say that when, after she passed,
yes,
she's an organ donor.
Oh God!
In her eyes.
Oh stop! There you go. So she donated her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! I did not know that. Well, see, this is what's so great, and this show is so specific now, because it all ties into her energy. You know, having a space for her energy to come in from the other side and to contribute to the conversation, because she really is the third. What podcast has a deceased person as a co-host? Ours. And what's great is because you are a scholar of hers and a witness, not me. I'm just a freaking messenger. I'm like the Grubhub person. Okay, who ordered pizza? Okay. tip would be cute. Okay. Interesting. Donated her eyes. Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And she sees things in such logic, in such a logistical filter, almost scientific. I know she was an architect. So things have to make sense. Things have to be the physics involved and the design and the logic and the science all have to be so lined up, or you can't, your design will fail. And she's like, well, it's the same thing. It's this divine design. So you could have a design that's functional, but it's not at its fullest potential. You could have a shack on the side of the road and call it shelter. Absolutely. Or you could have beautiful, spacious, amazing space that's comfortable and a refuge and an oasis that's so well designed that it just all makes sense and it looks effortless, because it's not. The work was put into that. And like any great work, this is kind of her and me talking, with any great work, the mastery of that is that it appears effortless. But you earn that effortless experience by putting in the work. That's sort of the paradox behind it. So if you see an amazing performance, it will appear effortless. you hear an operatic aria, it will appear effortless. It will sound effortless. And you could weep because the work was put in so that the experience would just be so profound and so accessible. That's like good design.
Mm.
So it's interesting, as I stumble through this shift in my energy that started in December, I realize now that why I fell 13 times in 1 year, and I thank God I haven't fallen since June when my son was put in custody. Anyway, that was cute. I don't feel like I'm going to fall in that way. And it was a disconnect. My brain would short circuit and I would fall hard. I don't feel that that's going to happen. And I thought it was because I was so traumatized. I thought it was because I was fighting for my life. I thought it was because I was in so much pain I couldn't contain it. I thought it was because I had PTSD and anxiety and taking my medication and all that, which I haven't been on since September. Thank you, Jesus. And I really feel, thank you, Lois, that I'm allowing myself to acknowledge the iris of my soul. And I feel different. And it doesn't mean, oh, my problems are all gone. No, I got to work every corner, take care of my babies because they're 6 foot. They're both like 6 foot or close to 6 foot. My youngest son's metabolism, he's like every 2 hours he's hungry. I'm like, great. Great. Yeah. I feel different, and people have said, you look different. I've lost some weight. I haven't tried to lose weight. It's crazy. My skin looks, everything's different. And I think it's because I'm doing that inner connection. And sometimes we need outside facilitation to connect to that inside. If this is how we've been relating to the outside world, this is kind of Lois now. Wouldn't it make sense that we need outside support to show that progress or to usher us along to make that progress? So if it's how we relate and navigate in the outside world, then it's through the outside world that we're going to be facilitated. Lois was a teacher. So she facilitated people in their healing. So teachers, helpers, healers, supporters, angels, whatever you want to call them, are there. That's your niece. That's this reset, this opportunity for a reset and a rebirth for everybody, especially you and your mom.
Mm.
So with these gentlemen callers, it's a reset. It's a learning. And it makes for some really funny, crazy conversation. Because that's you look at some of these profiles, it's crazy. I reported somebody. Ooh.
Oh, my God.
You can report. Yes. You can report. Yeah, somebody like, I don't look, you know, they don't like me. I'm like, ah. So it's not like I get a ton of likes. I get enough to, you know, make me feel like, oh, that's really nice. That's okay. I mean, even if they want like things that I'm not interested in, I don't respond. I only responded one time with Freaky Mafreak, and that was a great experience. And I responded again. I'll tell you about him in a second because, you know, we keep it moving. Oh. We keep it interesting. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Well,
oh, yes.
Well, hold on. Well, we do have a hand raised. I don't know.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay, let's take this call. So, you know what? I'll talk about Mystery Man on Thursday. Let's take this call. I'll leave you guys wanting a little bit more. Take the call.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's see if this person's there. Erica, 313. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hello. Good morning.
Caller, who's this?
This is Brianna.
Hi. So we haven't we've spoken to you before. It's been a while, right?
Maybe. I'm not sure because it's been a while since I've called.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, I think so. So just asking again for permission to reconnect to your energy. And just to give you a heads up, we have just a few minutes. So we'll just get – so the first thing is, can I have permission to connect to your energy again, please?
Yes, you do.
Okay, thank you. What's your question?
My question is, I had a dream about – a cousin of mine that is, he's deceased.
Okay.
He was sitting at a bar painting tar on the bar. I was sitting across the room and I'm looking at him and he's just looking, staring at me and he's painting tar on the bar.
Painting, like he's putting, like resurfacing the bar with tar the way that a road would be?
No, it really, he was just painting it right in the particular spot where he was. He was just back and forth with a brush, tar.
But the medium was tar, like tar that's used to pave a road, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Right, yeah. Okay,
that's
got
what
it.
It
looked like tar,
okay.
Yeah, tar.
All right, keep going with the dream.
I'm just curious as to what it is because last time I dreamt with him, it was actually, it was something with a screwdriver, looked up the number for the screwdriver, and it was his birthday, and the number fell straight that day.
Oh, okay, hello, because, you know,
hello?
I love when people do that. I love that. Okay, I love that. So what's great is that obviously there's a connection, and he knows how to communicate with you. And so if he's at the bar and he's only painting in just one particular very specific area, because he said it was the same spot over and over again, and
yeah,
taking
it was like,
some – go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was just – it was like, you know, to me it seemed like he was like the bar, you know, like basically the bar and like this. Like something with the bar. Something's not right there. And so he's steadily painting back and forth like, you don't see it, you don't get it.
And it's once, but it's one, I understand, but it's one specific area, not the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's just
it wasn't
one spot.
The whole bar or anything.
It was
he
one
was
spot,
just
correct?
At me. Yep.
Okay, so what I'm saying, Brianna, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, Brianna, is that he's... That symbolism to me is that he's taking something that with work will end up resurfacing a rough road, right? So with work, he's taking this material that one wouldn't use, but he's using that symbolism that things need to get smoothed out. But that process is one that, you know, he was able to do it. He had the ability and the skill to do it. But it was like a craftsperson really sort of taking his time and doing over and over. So the question to you is, where in your life, in a very specific way, not a general way, because he was very specific, where in your life, where does it need to be, things need to be smoothed out? Like, where is the potholes in your life?
I get it.
You understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I haven't worked in years, and I just started working doing home health care. I'm just doing it part-time.
Right.
I lost my fiance, which was my child's father, and I really haven't had a true relationship since then. So
Right.
I'm alone, and I don't want to be alone.
Okay. Well, the first thing we're going to say is that you're not alone. Okay. You're on your own, but you're not alone.
Right.
Okay.
I'm
so allow the energy of source to come in, and you have people on the other side. That obviously you're open enough, Brianna, that they can come in.
Okay.
Because they come in through your dreams. And then they come in different ways too. So it's like that rough patch. So maybe there's some potholes in your heart right now that need to be smoothed over. Now it's interesting that he's at a bar. Is that the type of environment that you're comfortable in? Because there's some nice bars and bar restaurants, places like that. Is that, as do you have fun? Is that a place where in the back of the day you would have fun in that type of environment or with your cousin? That I want to know that, because the setting, you said it was a bar. It wasn't a house. It wasn't a street. It was a bar.
It was. And what I should say is that when my cousin mm-hmm. was found, he was found behind the bar.
Okay, well, there you go. So there you go. So that's a way for him to say that this is, so that was his place. Okay, so that tells you it's that things are getting smoothed out, okay, that he's taking care of what he needs to take care of, because when people die, we turn them into saints. And you know what? They got stuff to do on the other side too.
Okay.
They got to resolve their unresolved issues. They have work to do. So he's doing his work. So thank you for telling me that, because that makes sense with the environment. And it also confirms that your cousin did communicate with you from the other side. Right? But he wants you to know you're not alone.
So, I apologize. I disconnected. Go ahead.
Okay. And we have to get off anyway. So it's, but allow your heart to get smoothed over. You're on the right track, because you are getting yourself back into the workforce. And if you say, I'm not alone, but I'm open to possibility.
I'm open to possibility.
That will loosen you up in terms of not feeling like you're stuck the way in the prehistoric times, they had the thing called the tar pits, and the animals would get trapped in the tar and they would die off. That's not you. Okay?
Okay.
That's
okay.
Not you. So I think that the tar can be very helpful if you know how to use it. And you said he was very careful. He was very specific, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people back in the day used to get tarred and feathered. That's not cute.
No.
As a form of punishment, severe punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do that.
Okay.
So allow him, ask him, whoever's on the other side, say thank you. Thank you. And show me. But you're on the right track, because you are capable of getting yourself some work. And you can do it bit by bit, step by step. But you don't have to walk through the tar and get stuck.
Okay.
So let your cousin do the heavy lifting on this. Does that make sense?
Yes, because
okay.
I was
good.
Perplexed on that dream.
Okay,
thank
and
you.
I want you to take, because we're going to wrap up the show, but do me a favor, just lower those shoulders, take a deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth, please. Let's do one more. Okay, and one more for luck, because, you know, it's cute. Play those numbers, girl. Okay, how do you feel now?
I feel good, thank
you. Yes! Okay, we're going to wrap up the show. All right, thank you so much for calling. Call us back when we have more time.
Okay, thank you.
You're good, sweetheart. Your energy is good. You're stronger than you think.
All right, thank you.
All right, you are so much stronger than you think, so time to own it, Miss Thing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'll call you, Mr. Hello.
You.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yay,
take
I'm so
care.
Glad you took that call. So
you
I will
too.
Discuss
Thank
I
you.
Will discuss Mystery Man on Thursday. I hope I meet him.
Okay.
We haven't met yet.
Unless
yay.
He can't be on the show on Thursday, right?
Oh, my God, I forgot. Damn it. I'll discuss it on Tuesday. Yes, I have an event. Yeah. Damn it, I forgot. Damn it. Okay, Tuesday. Anyway, the show's getting so good, girl. Thank you, Lois. She just took us all kinds of places, because she does. Love having a dead person co-host with us. Okay, so if you guys want to get a hold of us, you can email. This show is scheduled. I won't be on, but please listen. This show will be scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. As always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Thanks, guys, for listening. Love you so much.
Love you. Bye.